Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Chana Bas Ketzel, whose shloshim is this week. Neshama Shavan Aliyah. Thank you for that. Okay, so today we are going to continue the halachos of Bishul, of cooking on Shabbos. Today is the fifth shiur we're having on Bishul. What we're going to do today is the halachos of Shehiya. Now, this is the first time I asked the Goldschmidt family to arrange a blackboard or a drawing board it's going to be a little bit complicated. As I said in the first year on Bishul, and as you know from all the shiurim that we've had the past year that we've had this chus to have these shiurim, I try to keep the halachos as simple as possible. I try and rule out all the gemaras and all the rishonim and the achronim before, and we get down to the practical halacha. A lot of times we need to discuss what's medaraisa, what's medarabanan, in order to know when we're allowed to be lenient, when it's harder to be lenient, what's considered a chumrah, what's considered a kula, what's for sure also, what's for sure mutter. Over here, this is really a time where this topic of Bishul, of Shehiya, is something where we have no choice but to go all the way back to the Gemara. We're going to discuss some of the opinions in the Gemara. Those of you whose husbands or any of the men in your family learned Daf Yomi, I was telling your husband this morning, this is a sugya that was learned recently in Daf Yomi, so you could talk to your husbands in learning if you ever wanted to. If you'll know the practical halacha as we're going to come out today, so you could tell your husband you learned through the sugyas. It's in the beginning of the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, which Daf Yomi has learned recently, so you could throw around a lot of terms you could impress your husbands later. So we're going to discuss right now. So Shehiya means, Shehiya is Shin Hei Yud Yud Hei. Shehiya means to maintain food on a flame. Now, maintain, what does maintain mean? So what this means is, last week we discussed at length the halachos of putting food on a heating element on Shabbos. Today we're going to discuss putting foods on a heating element before Shabbos. Putting it there before Shabbos and keeping it there on Shabbos. Fires, blechs, hot plates, crock pots, urns. So last week we discussed at length all the opinions of putting things on a flame on Shabbos. Of course, it has to be fully cooked before Shabbos, as we discussed last week. We discussed opinions of Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yashub and Shlomo Zalman Orbach as far as putting things on hot plates on Shabbos directly, on a 9x13 pan, on a cookie sheet pan, crock pots. We discussed that all last week. Today, what we're going to discuss today is the halachos of putting foods before Shabbos and keeping it there on Shabbos. So the halacha is the following. Chazal were afraid, the Gemara was afraid, that if you put a food on a flame before Shabbos and you leave it there on Shabbos, we are afraid of the following occurrence. We are afraid that you will come to the food on Shabbos and you'll decide, you know what, I want to eat this food sooner than I was expecting. I was planning on eating the food tomorrow. I changed my mind. I want to eat the food tonight. So what you're going to do, we're afraid what you're going to do is, you're going to go over to the coals. In those days, they had coals. And you're going to stoke the coals. And when you stoke the coals, that is a problem, like we discussed in the first class on Bishul, that's a problem of Bishul because you are hastening the cooking. And of course, it's another of the Lama Tes Melachos, which is Mavir. You are causing the flame to get bigger. That is Havara. So since we do not want you to stoke the coals, or in our terminology, raise the flame on the stovetop, or some type of change from low to high, those types of things, so we do not let you put a food before Shabbos on a heating element, unless we have certain conditions, which we'll discuss, and keep it there on Shabbos. Now, we'll discuss how you would be allowed, but that is the general isser, that is the general prohibition, midrabanan of Shehiya. And that's what we're going to discuss today, all talking about where you put the food on before Shabbos, and you keep it there on Shabbos. Do not think that you don't cook like this. You think, oh, I cook everything before Shabbos, because we all make chont, and the chont is put there before Shabbos, and of course you keep it there through Shabbos. So we need to discuss, how is it permitted to have chont putting up before Shabbos and keeping it on Shabbos? Why aren't we afraid that you're going to stoke the coals, you're going to make it higher on Shabbos? So there are certain situations, the only time the Rabbanan are afraid that you're going to raise the flame and stoke the coals is in certain situations. If you have a different situation where we are not concerned for this, then it'll be permitted. So we need to discuss what are those permitted ways that we are not afraid of you raising the flame or stoking the coal, so to speak, on Shabbos. So there's two opinions in the Gemara. Again, we're talking about the Issa of Shehiyah, putting it there before Shabbos. We are afraid you're going to raise the flame on Shabbos. So you need to do something to make it that we're not afraid you're going to raise the flames. So opinion number one is the following. Opinion number one is by the person who's called Hananya. Hananya is not such a famous person in throughout Shas. I don't even know if he's quoted any time throughout Shas, except for this one situation, this one halacha. And that is the following, and that's why we're going to write it down, because just to keep the opinions. Hananya holds, he's of the opinion that if the food is already Michael Ben Drusoy. So we discussed in the first class of Bishul, what is Michael Ben Drusoy? Michael Ben Drusoy means the food is not totally cooked, it's somewhat cooked, that it's edible if you're in a rush, in a hard situation, in a Mishas Adchak, it is somewhat edible. So Michael Ben Drusoy means, we said there's two opinions, if you remember, it's either a third cooked or it's half cooked. Here we're going to be Machmir and say it needs to be half cooked. So if it is Michael Ben Drusoy, Mem Aleph Beis Dalet stands for Michael Ben Drusoy. If it is Michael Ben Drusoy, according to Hananya, the food is totally mutter. That's the check. That means it's totally mutter. According to Hananya, if the food is already half cooked by the time Shabbos starts, then it is permitted. You can do this. Now, most of your chalons, I would believe, by the time Shabbos begins, is already half cooked. When do you put up the chalons? Maybe at some point Friday morning, or early enough Friday afternoon, that it half cooked it already is. We discussed, how do you figure out exactly what's considered half cooked? Is it on the time or on the food itself? We discussed that in the first class. But if it is Michael Ben Josoy, Kunta Hananya, you're good to go. We could stop the shear right now. Once it's Michael Ben Josoy, it's not a problem. So that is opinion number one. And we're going to discuss, how do we paskin? Now, of course, we need to know, how do we paskin? That is opinion number one. Opinion number two is the people we call the Rabbanan, which means everybody else. And the Rabbanan say that it has to be mavushal, we'll write it in English, has to be totally cooked, and it has to be mitstamek viraloi. I mean, the only time that we are not concerned that you're going to stoke the flames, according to Hananya, once the food is half cooked already, then you're not afraid you're going to stoke the flames. According to the Rabbanan, that's not good enough. The food has to be totally cooked, when we call mavushal kol tzarchei, the food has to be totally cooked by the time Shabbos starts, and it has to be what we call raloi, reish ayin, lamed vav, which means that if the food will be continued to be cooked even further, it would be bad for the food. Now, cholent gets better and better as you cook it, even if it's fully cooked. You look at it, it's fully cooked. But if you cook it longer, it would be better for the cholent. So then that's not good according to the Rabbanim. We need to come on to other heterim. But once you have that, you have a food, the only way that according to the Rabbanim it's okay, and you're allowed to do this, is if the food is totally cooked, and it's bad if it continues to be cooked. And we're saying that most foods, especially cholent, do not fit into this category according to the Rabbanan, because most foods are going to be good if they are continued to be cooked. So that is why we're going to discuss the silver foil in the crock pots. You can't have, according to the Rabbanan, you can't have a crock pot without any silver foil in it. Most probably. We'll see different opinions. But generally speaking, why, I'm sure you check your crock pots at home, most of you have the silver foil in the crock pots. One of the reasons is because according to the Rabbanan, even if it's totally cooked, but it's not mitstamak v'raloi, it's not bad for the chont if it continues to cook, it's still good. So therefore, you can't just put a food, even before Shabbos, we're talking about putting the food before Shabbos, even if it's before Shabbos, you can't put a food that is good for the food to continue to be cooked, because we are afraid that you're going to continue to stoke it or raise the flame on Shabbos. Those are, let me just say a few more, I think I'm going to cover your question. Right? Those are the two opinions in the Gemara. Again, according to Hananya, once the food is already Michael Ben Drusoy, it's totally mutter. That's a check. You could do whatever you want if it's Michael Ben Drusoy. If it's less than that, it would not be permitted. Unless we have silver foil. We'll discuss that. But as far as the Rabbanon, if it's totally cooked and it's mitstamak v'raloi and it's bad for the food, which we said very few cases are like that. Who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Hananya or do we paskin like the Rabbanon? So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim, who do we paskin like? The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that we paskin like the Rabbanan, which is more strict. The Ramah, who the Ashkenazim usually follow, we usually follow the Ramah, he says that the custom of the people is, the Minig HaOlam is, to rely on Chananya. According to Chananya, it is very lenient. All you need is your food to be Maichel Ben Jusoy by the time Shabbos starts, and that's it. You don't have to worry about anything, as far as anything else. But and the Ramah says that the Minig is to Paskin like Chananya. The Chazon Ish seems to say that you can rely on Chananya. You're allowed to rely on Chananya. However, the Chafetz Chaim, the Bir Halacha, says that really you should be strict, and you should try to be strict like the Rabbanon. If you try to be strict like the Rabbanon, so then your food would need to be totally cooked, and it would need to be bad for the food to be continued to be cooked. And since we don't have that, so that is why if you're going to be strict like the Rabbanon, you are not able, without silver foil or a blech, we'll discuss these halachos now, you're not going to be able to put the food directly on a heating element. Those are the two opinions. We're not going to get into more of the details, who we paskin like, in which situations, but definitely we try, lechatchila, we try in the first place to try to be strict according to the Rabbanon. Now that we know that we try to be strict according to the Rabbanon, so how do you put up a cholent before Shabbos? Even if it's totally cooked, but it's not bad for the food to be continue to be cooked, so how in the world are we able to put up a cholent, to put something on the flame, on a hot plate, before Shabbos, if most foods are considered as good for the food to be continued to be cooked? And for this, we have one of two options. There are two things that you are allowed to do to make it permitted, even according to the Rabbanan. Did I cover your question yet? Okay. And the two options are, as I'm sure many of you know, what we call garuf and kotum. Sorry. Garuf and kotum. So we're going to explain what each of those means. Again, we're going according to the Rabbanan. According to Chananya, you only need this garuf or kotum if the food is less than Michael Benjusar. If it's less, then we'll talk about raw. We'll save raw for the end. But if it's less than Maichel Ben Jusoy, according to Chananya, or it is even totally cooked, according to the Rabbanan, the only way it's permitted is garuf v'katum, or katum. So what is garuf? Garuf means that the coals have been removed. In those times, they had the ovens with the coals. If they took out the coals, they took out, let's say, all of the coals, we'll keep it simple, let's say they take out all of the coals. If you take out all of the coals, and of course the oven is still very, very hot, once the coals are out, so then of course there's no more suspicion that you're going to stoke the coals. There's no more coals. So one way to make it permitted, according to the Rabbanan, is to remove all of the coals, which in our terms nowadays would mean to turn off the oven. Again, we're talking about, let's say, an hour before Shabbos, you put food in the oven, you turn on the oven, now the oven is very, very hot, let's say you don't even put the food in yet. You make the oven very, very hot, then you turn off the oven, now the fire is gone, it's as if the coals are gone, and then, talking about before Shabbos you put the food in the oven, that's very, very hot, that is permitted according to the Rabbanan, because that is garuf. That makes that the coals have been totally removed. That is one option to do that for an oven or a crock pot. Of course, a crock pot, you're not going to do that. You're not going to turn it off before Shabbos. But that is one option in regards to an oven, that you could turn it off. That makes it garuf. That is one way to make it permitted. The most common way that we need to discuss at length is katum. Katum means that you cover the coals. Not that you remove the coals, but that you cover the coals. You have to cover all of the coals, which means you have to cover the entire fire, or the entire heating element. We'll discuss crockpots at length shortly. But once you cover it, then even according to the Rabbanan, that would also be permitted. Now there's two ways to explain why does covering the fire or covering the coals, why does that make it permitted? One way to understand is that that diminishes the heat. That's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to go with. That diminishes the heat. If you have a fire and you put the food directly on the fire, the pot directly on the fire, it's going to be a certain amount of heat. If you cover it, then that's going to diminish the heat. If that diminishes the heat, then we're not afraid that you're going to raise the flame or stoke the coals, because just the opposite. You diminish the heat, then we are no longer concerned. Another way to explain is that it's just a reminder. It's like a hecker. It's to be recognizable to you that you're covering the flame, you're covering the heating element. So that's a reminder that, oh, now I know, I'll be careful that I'm not going to raise the the fire to raise the coals, because I see a reminder, I see a hecker, I'm covering it, so that is just a reminder for me. Either way you explain, either that it physically diminishes the heat, or that it's just a reminder to me, but katum is the second way. Once you have gara for katum, then according to the Rabbanon, that makes it also permitted. Now, when we have a fire, I don't know how many of you cook like this on Shabbos or before Shabbos, is with a blech. You have a fire on the flame, and you want to put the food on the flame. So the halacha is that to take a pot of food, and you put it there before Shabbos, directly on the flame, before Shabbos. Is that permitted, or is that not permitted?
With a blech?
Oh, so without a blech. So without a blech, can you put a pot of food directly on the flame? So the answer is the following. According to Chananya, it's only permitted if it's Michael Ben Jusay. If the food is already half-cooked by the time Shabbos comes, you'd be allowed to do that. You're allowed to put it directly on a flame. According to the Rabbanon, which we said you should try to be strict, according to the Rabbanon, you should try to be strict like that, then you would not be allowed to put a pot of food directly on the flame. Because it's considered yafalai, it doesn't fit the rally, and it's not garfakatim, you have the flame over there, you put it directly on the flame, that would not be permitted according to the Rabbanon.
But you could put on a blech.
So we'll talk about a blech in a second.
A lot of foods would get bad if you continue to cook it. They dry out.
Eventually they dry out, but it's even past the stage of being fully cooked, it's still considered good to stay on the fire. Yes, eventually it would be bad. But for now, for quite some time, it's still considered good for the food, for sure by chant it's like that. It's fully cooked, but if it would stay on the fire in the hot plate, it would get better. Chicken soup is also like that. Water, they say, is not like that, but chicken soup would definitely be like that. It's still good to be considered to stay on the flame for longer. So directly on the flame, that would be the halacha. Let's say there's a blech. What we rely on, all of us who use blechs, I'm not talking about yontif. Yontif, you're allowed to cook. Yontif, you're allowed to do maver. But on Shabbos, those of us who rely on a blech, that is considered ketumah. Rav Moshe Feinstein and others say that when you take a blech, of course the blech is covering the flame. So since the blech is covering the flame, so that is why people use a blech, to be considered ketumah, then now the fire, the coals, are covered, even though the fire is on. Last week we discussed as far as placing food on the blech on Shabbos. Where, at what point of the blech you're allowed to do that? That was last week. I'm talking about putting it there before Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds, and others, that the blech makes it ketum. The blech makes it covered. Those of you who hear somebody who doesn't use a blech, that's because they go with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that a blech does not make it considered katum. He says it's not considered covered. He says that doesn't really cover the flame. It's just above the flame, and we do that during the week sometimes. Okay, that, I don't know if we really do that during the week sometimes, but the Chazon Ish says that putting a blech does not make it katum. If you find somebody say that, oh, I don't use a blech, I don't consider that katum, so that means he's going with the Chazon Ish. But I think the meaning of the world... Sorry?
Is there any way
100%. Anyways, right, that's true. But Lefi the Rabbanon, he says, if you want to rely on Chananya, you'd be allowed to rely on Chananya. But does it make it Katum? There's other situations we'll have to discuss next week where you need to have Gar for Katum besides, for the halachos of Chazara. That's true. But to make it Katum for other halachos, or if you want to try to be strict like the Rabbanon, then he says that will not make it Katum. So that's as far as a blech. We use a blech to say that that's considered covered. Now it's covered. Most Paiskim say, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others, that you are allowed to put a blech on Shabbos. You're allowed to put the blech there. If, let's say, you forget to put the blech there before Shabbos, and you have a fire there, just you forgot to put the blech, most Paiskim say you're allowed to take the blech and put it there on Shabbos. And then, as far as where you're allowed to put the pot on Shabbos, we discussed last week. You're allowed to put it on space number one, space number two, space number three, which we discussed last week. But in a situation where you forget to put the blech there before Shabbos, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others hold you're allowed to put the blech there on Shabbos. Of course, it's not muksa. If you're allowed to put it there on Shabbos, of course, it's not muksa. The Chazon Ish also says you're not allowed to put a blech there on Shabbos. He says it's like cooking the blech. I think most people, we could rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein that you'd be allowed to put it there on Shabbos.
So you're allowed to put it if the fire's on, obviously.
If the fire's on, right. You can't turn on the fire on Shabbos. If the fire's on before Shabbos, but you forgot to put the blech before Shabbos, something happened, or you ran out of time, you realized the time, you went to bench lift, and then you want to put the blech on Shabbos, or it fell off, so then you, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're allowed to put a blech on Shabbos. As far as a blech, let's say standard situation, you put it there before Shabbos. Once you put the blech down on top of the fire, the place can tell us, Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shem Zalman Urbach, that you shouldn't bend down and raise the flame or lower the flame. Because the whole point of putting the blech on top is now that you're away from the coals, you're not going to raise it anymore, because we said you cover the coals and now you're not going to raise it. If it's a little bit of a joke, if I put down the blech and then I go ahead and raise it, or then I go ahead and lower it, so the place can tell us that preferably once you put down the blech, you shouldn't go ahead and raise the flame, because you can't say, oh, it's as if I covered the flame now and now the flame is off limits. You don't have to be suspect that I'm going to raise it on Shabbos. You yourself raised it after you already put down the blech. So it's better not to raise or lower the flame after the blech is there. Make sure it's at the perfect amount before you put the blech. If by mistake you need to raise it, you need to lower it, so Rabbi Yashiv says you just take off the blech, raise it and lower it, and then put the blech
that's
back.
That's not on Shabbos?
Before Shabbos.
Because sometimes, I know, like when I put the blech on, and sometimes because there's a draft or something, the flame will go up a little bit.
Okay, if the flame goes up and you want it to be lower, preferably what you should do is take off the blech and then lower the flame. If you lower it afterwards, listen, there is perhaps, you don't have to be suspect based on this, if there's a special reason why you need to lower it, but normally you wouldn't have, yeah, then perhaps you'd be allowed to. So in Aruch HaShabbos, that there are situations where you'd be allowed to lower it, but preferably the flame should be exactly the way you want with the blech.
Do these opinions say you have to cover the knobs too?
We have to discuss the knobs. We'll discuss the knobs shortly. When we get to crock pots, we'll discuss the knobs. What about an oven? Inside an oven. I know we were discussing this a couple weeks ago, and I said I'll get back to you as far as the certain halacha, and I saw what Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so we'll discuss it right now. Let's say, again, we're talking about before Shabbos. I want to turn on my oven before Shabbos, and with a timer, it'll go off at some point on Shabbos. In a couple hours, it'll go off by itself, but I want to have the oven on before Shabbos and put the food in the oven before Shabbos. I have a pot of chicken or whatever it is, or something I want to heat up, so I want to have it for the Friday night Suda very hot. Can I put food in the oven before Shabbos with the oven on? Either I'll keep the oven on the entire Shabbos, or it'll go off at some point in a few hours with a timer. Is that allowed or is that not allowed? So according to Hananya, once it's Michael Ben Drusai, once it's already half cooked, you can do that. You could put it in the oven. It's totally not a problem. According to the Rabbanon, there it gets complicated, because there you need to know, is an oven considered garif or katum? Is an oven considered the flame? You know how an oven looks. You know better than me. You have the floor of the oven inside, and then the flame is underneath, right? So there's like a cover on top of that flame. Is that cover, does that cover make it considered katum according to the Rabbanim? It's a huge machlokes amongst the Paiskim. There are those
that
say...
I'm
sorry?
That's only a gas oven that you're describing with the flame underneath.
Okay, that's my oven.
Heating elements that are
all on the side?
Oils inside.
So if... Right.
It's not covered.
So,
it's
okay.
Oil, right,
so
there.
For sure, according to the Paiskim that say that the regular floor of an oven is not considered katum. They say that that's the normal way to cook. It's not like I went and I covered the flame. For sure, that's just the way it is. I always cook like that, of course, during the week. So that's why many Paiskim say that an oven, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and others, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rabbi Yashiv, they say that an oven is not considered garif akatum. Again, an oven is not considered garif akatum. According to the way you're explaining to me that there are even heating elements along the side, then for sure that's not considered covered, because the flame is right there. It's right next to the fire. So an oven would not be considered garif akatum. So would I be allowed to put food in the oven? According to the Rabbanon, I would not be allowed. But again, according to Hananya, and we always have Hananya, that if the food is half cooked already by the time Shabbos starts, it's allowed to be put in there. So if you know people that do that, you come to a house, let's say you take upon yourself, you want to be strict and go according to the Rabbanon. That's great. And you don't want to put any food in the oven anymore because you are afraid. You want to go with the Rabbanon, and you want to say that an oven is not considered katum, it's not considered covered. But if you see somebody do that, you can't really tell them that they're doing something forbidden. They have Hananya's opinion. Again, the Rama says you're allowed to rely on Hananya. That's why I put a line underneath, because always remember that you always have Hananya. You always have Hananya's opinion, which is definitely opinion you can rely on in certain situations. So if it's half cooked before Shabbos, it's totally mutter to put in before Shabbos. If you say an oven is not considered katum, then the only way you'd be allowed to put it in an oven, according to the Rabbanon, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and others, is you have some type of insert. Now, it's not very practical to have an insert. I don't know who's going to do that. Maybe on Pesach, you know, maybe you have one for Pesach if you have an insert. On Shabbos, heating up food before Shabbos, I don't think most of you would use an insert, if I'm not mistaken. So the only way to be put in food in an oven before Shabbos, the oven that's on, is if you have an insert, or if you rely on the opinions that an oven is considered katum, but especially not if the heating elements are all along the side, or simply if you rely on Chananya. Yeah.
So according to this opinion of Chananya, you could really take your food and put it in your oven on Shabbos?
I'm talking about before Shabbos. I'm talking about before Shabbos. All talking about before Shabbos. On Shabbos, that was what... So on Shabbos, if the oven is on, then for sure not, because we said that's nesina lechatchila. That we discussed, you know, in the first class and in the last class, that you can't take something from the refrigerator, even if it's fully cooked. You can't take it and put it on the heating element on Shabbos. The question was, that I promised I would get back to you, is, can you put food in your oven on Shabbos if the oven is off? Meaning it's very hot, let's say I heated it up before Shabbos, and I put it on in the oven on Shabbos if it's off. So if it's off, it's garf. So it's garf, but can I put it there on Shabbos? So that, I said, I'd have to get back to you. I asked Rabbi Sachs, and he told me he'll have to get back to me. But last night I saw that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says that that's not allowed. Perhaps there are those that say it is permitted, but that's not allowed for a reason what we call toich. You're not allowed to put something inside, only allowed to put something on top. We have to discuss more about that when we get to the halachas of Chaz. I'm talking about on Shabbos. I'm talking
so
about
before
on.
Shabbos, that is okay.
Before Shabbos, that will be okay.
Heat it to 500, turn it off. And then
if it's off, right, that's garf. Before Shabbos, it's totally allowed. You turn it off, obviously, before Shabbos, and you put the pot in the oven before Shabbos, that's okay, even according to the Rabbanon, because that's garf. And for sure, according to Chanan, that for sure will be allowed. Yeah.
What about all the Sabbath mode ovens?
So, I knew, we have to discuss what exactly... So from what I understand and from the websites that I looked up, there's different types of Shabbos modes ovens. Each case would have to be dealt with separately. You have to know you're putting it there before Shabbos or you're putting it there on Shabbos. If the Shabbos mode oven is not garuf, if you consider an oven not garuf, so then anyways, according to the Rabbanon, you wouldn't be allowed to put it there because you may raise the flame. You may manually go ahead and raise it. So then we have that suspicion. According to Chananya, even not a Shabbos mode oven, even a regular oven would be allowed if it's Meichel Ben Jusai. So as far as putting it there before Shabbos, the Shabbos mode oven probably doesn't make a difference either way. As far as putting it there on Shabbos, see if the oven is on, I'd imagine it would still be considered Nesina Lechatchila. If it's off, I'd imagine it would still be allowed. I have to discuss. Tell me afterwards how exactly the Shabbos mode oven you're referring to works. But according to all those halachas, I would imagine at the top of my head that they would all be the same in regards to that. That's as far as an oven. As far as a crock pot. So now let's discuss a crock pot. So here we have a nice crock pot. So did you put more silver foil since last week? You did, okay. So here we have, this is where all the food goes into, obviously. So here is, yeah, I could tell you did. Here is the crock pot itself. So the heating element over here is not just on the bottom. The heating element is all along the sides. I have a friend here in the neighborhood whose father checks into the crock pots, and he says a lot of them have coils on the side. I don't know about this one, but even if the coils are not also on the side, but since it's metal, the entire, a lot of places can say that the entire sides get hot as well, as you can feel. So that is part of what cooks the food, even on the side. So therefore, if you want to go with the Rabbanon and say that it has to be totally cooked and raloi, so it's not. So the only way is to cover the heating element. So you have to have the silver foil inside the crock pot. You go all around and you know your mothers, or you see people have silver foil in the crock pot. The reason why they have the silver foil in the crock pot is to make it katum, is to cover the heating element.
Doesn't it make it hotter?
I don't think it makes it hotter. Does it make it hotter? I would imagine it doesn't make it hotter. It retains the heat, but it doesn't make it hotter than it was before. If what we said before, that there's two reasons why we do katum, either to minimize the heat, if that's the reason, then yes, you would have a question, and perhaps hopefully the answer is that it doesn't. If the reason was the second reason, that it's just as a recognition, so then enough of a recognition it is. So the question is, we'll discuss the knobs in a second. This is for the knobs. We'll discuss the knobs separately. So the Pesukim can tell us that you have to cover all of the inside of the crock pot. The entire inside has to be covered. And the question is, how many layers of silver foil do you need? So I saw in one English publication, so for sure one layer of silver foil is not good enough. Especially if you go with the Shulchan Aruch that you have to minimize the heat. It doesn't minimize the heat. One layer of silver foil does not minimize the heat. So I saw in one English publication that it has to be four times. You have to have four layers. I don't know about four layers, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Erbach, who was who we're going to go with, he says, kama pamim. He says you need to layer it with silver foil, kama pamim. Pamim, you know, means times. Kama means a few. When I was a kid, I was told that a couple means two, a few means three, and several means four. So what's the translation of the word kama? I don't know. Does kama mean a few? Does kama mean several? If it means several, then maybe it's four. It's hard for me to say. For sure, it should not be one. I don't know necessarily if you need four. I saw Rabbi Ribiat, he says, you fold it into several layers. Mm-hmm. So several. So, but he, Rabbi Ribiat over there, he's talking about on a fire itself. He's not talking about a crock pot where he uses that expression. I'm not going to come here and tell you. All I'm telling you is that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Erbach says, kama pamim. If you have two or three, for sure three, I would think it's okay. That English publication that I saw that said four times, I know he is a tremendous machmir, and all the previous past few weeks that I've been saying the English publication, it's all the same time, and if you go back to your notes, you'll notice that it's always a chumrah. I don't know if you have to do it four times, but I would say three times would definitely be good enough. Perhaps two times, perhaps that would be enough.
But some are thin. Thin foil and some are thin.
So if it's heavy-duty silver foil, I would imagine, I think I saw that one layer is good enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means the one, if it's heavy-duty silver foil, then one layer would be good enough. That's true.
Like when you say several, like I know when you put it down, like it doesn't... I mean, like in certain parts,
every part should try to have kama pamim. If there's one or two parts that only have two layers and the rest have three, okay, perhaps you could rely on that. Perhaps that's more lenient. As far as... Okay, as far as the noms, let's discuss the noms. Yeah. This is taking longer than I expected. Yeah. I'm sorry? Right. So if it would need cut them, I would imagine it would need a few layers. One layer of silver foil, not heavy duty silver foil, I imagine that's also, that doesn't make a cut them over there. So I was at Rabbi Sachs's wedding, actually. I was discussing some of these halachas with some of the people at my table, and they were saying from their Rosh Hashiva which ones are better because of Magus, because we were discussing halachas of Magus, and then there's Hatmana issues. You see these little balls in here. What are these balls, these silver foil balls, and the rocks inside? Yeah. That's nothing to do with Shehiyah. That's going to be in a couple of Shiurim. Hopefully, we'll get there in two Shiurim as far as the halachas of Hatmana. Why you need to raise, why you want to raise the crockpot above the cylinder above the crockpot. That's as far as that. There's advantages to each of the crockpots. You don't have a problem of Hatmana if you have the flat one. If you have the flat one. That's for sure.
I heard that in the more lechachila crockpot.
Okay, if you want to, yeah, that will be more lechachila in regards to Hatmana. If you know what Hatmana, those of you know what Hatmana is, wrapping a food, so you have the food in here and then it's surrounded by the crock pot itself. So yeah, if you have the flat one, then you don't have such an issue.
All this lighter stuff either.
Well, you would still need to be garuf or katam. According to the Rabbanon, you would still need to be to have the katam. I would imagine. I would think so. People don't have silver foil. Okay, good. So let's discuss the knobs right now. Let's discuss the knobs. We'll discuss the knobs, and we'll see why some people do not have silver foil.
No, but if someone doesn't have this, can you eat it?
I'm talking about, yeah, let's discuss right now why some people, even the chadchila, do not have this. Do you have to cover the knobs? So it's a huge discussion amongst the paiskim. I'm not going to tell you, as I said many times, I'm not going to tell you all the different opinions about covering the knobs. So Moshe Feinstein says that preferably, really, really preferably, you should also cover the knobs. Because again, think about it. What are we discussing? If you have the garuf or the katum, that makes what? That makes it that you won't raise the flame. So, says Moshe Feinstein that, yes, you have to do the katum, but you have to cover it. But he says it's very preferable to cover the knobs as well. Over there, of course, it's not going to diminish any of the heat, but the point is that as a reminder that it's covered, that you're not going to raise it. The blech, if you notice this blech, those of you who could see behind the table, the blech over here, the blech, it has like a bend, and it's like an L. The reason why do you have such blechs? Not to make it that it just won't fall off, but the point is to bend down and it covers the knobs. Just to tell you the opinion of Rabbi Aaron Cutler has an opinion that you only have to cover the knobs. Only have to cover the knobs. He says the whole point is because you may raise the flame, so all you have to do is cover the knobs. That's all. In those days, the heating element was how you raised it, the coals. You raised the coals by stoking the coals, so then you covered the coals. He says nowadays, all you have to do is cover the knobs. You don't even have to need the silver foil. I was talking to one of my talmidim in the yeshiva yesterday, and he said, oh, what are you giving shiur on tomorrow? So I said, silver foil and crock pots. He says, oh, my mother doesn't cover the silver foil, so it doesn't cover the crock pot. So I said, because you're from Lakewood, this boy is from Lakewood, and I said, you're from Lakewood, probably they go with a Baron Cutler, and a Baron Cutler says you don't have to cover the inside, all you could do is cover the knobs. Definitely, I think the minig olam is to have the silver foil in the crock pot. As far as the knobs, many places can say you should. I know the Debre Tzina says for sure you should, that those that say you don't have to cover the knobs, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach says you don't have to cover the knobs, or Vayashiv says you don't have to cover the knobs, as long as it's just the inside, what should you do? The best would be, for sure, I would think, to have the inside, that's what Moshe Feinstein says, to have the inside covered. As far as the knobs, preferably, definitely, you should cover the knobs as well. I even saw in one place that what you could do is turn the crock pot around and have the knobs facing the wall. So then that's also enough of a hecker if it's too hard to cover the knobs, so you could do it like that. Rav Vosner says you could take off the knobs. Some of the knobs are broken. Well, I don't know, maybe it's not broken. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to. And you could remove the knobs, so then you can't really raise it. Or even if you would raise it, you would have to like take your fingernails and raise it. So you can't. Okay. So that's also an idea. But that's as far as covering the knobs, preferably to cover the knobs. If the knob has just like some type of small cover, and then, oh, you see on Shabbos, oh, the cover on the knob fell off, you don't have to worry about it. You could eat it. Anyways, according to Chananya, this is all irrelevant, because as long as your food is Michael Ben Jusay at the beginning of Shabbos, anyways, you don't need any silver foil. Maybe the people that don't have silver foil at all, they say, we're Chananya Yidden, we just rely on Chananya. I was told you can rely on Chananya, etc., etc., and then I don't need any silver foil. You may need it as far as the halachos of Chazar. If you want to take some chalent Friday night and put it back, we're going to see you're going to need Garf HaKatan for that also. That, anyways, is a good idea to have Garf HaKatan. If your boys, if your husbands, you want chalent Friday night, those are other halachos, when you want to save it for Shalosh Shuddis, those are other reasons to have Garf HaKatan. Very quickly.
What about, there are a lot of people that put up the chalent right before Shalosh.
Oh, so we have to talk about Ruah. We'll talk about Ruah in a second. We have two more things to discuss, hot plates, and we'll talk about Ruah. Hot plates in regards to Shehiyah. So we discussed hot plates last week. Last week we were discussing as far as placing food on a hot plate on Shabbos. So we said the opinions of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yashiv, and the Chazon Ish, and we discussed the Bi'ur Halacha, that if you want to put directly on a hot plate on Shabbos, we said preferably not, because Rav Moshe Feinstein says it has to be impossible to cook, and it's not impossible to cook. Rabbi Yashiv said it's usher. So we said, as far as an upside down 9x13 pan, depends how you understand the Bi'ur Halacha, does it have to have food inside? Rav Shlomo Zalman says it doesn't have to have food inside nowadays. That we discussed last week. As far as a hot plate for Shehiyah, a hot plate putting on the food before Shabbos. So is a hot plate considered garuf and katum already? The heating element is underneath, right? But there's some type of tray on top. Is that considered garuf and katum? So the adjustable hot plates, some hot plates are adjustable. So those that are adjustable, for sure, you should have some type of cover on top of the hot plate, and preferably you should cover the knob as well, as we said before. I think most hot plates are non-adjustable. At least the ones in Eretz Yisrael, I think the ones, most of them, the Israeli ones, are not adjustable. Many Paiskim say that you are allowed to put food directly on the hot plate. You take the pot of food, the pan of food, and put it directly on the hot plate. Before Shabbos. I'm talking about before Shabbos. They say that, first of all, you don't have to be afraid that you're going to raise it because it's not adjustable. Fine, but even if you hold like Rabbi Yashiv and the Chazon Ish that you don't differentiate, and even if it's not adjustable, still, you know, across the board, we say that you're not allowed to. But many Paiskim say that since it's not normal to cook on a hot plate, you'd be allowed to put it there before Shabbos. That already is considered garuf haikatum if you put it there before Shabbos. Again, on Shabbos is different because we have to discuss Nesina Lechadchila. I'm talking about before Shabbos, where Nesina Lechadchila is not a problem whatsoever. It's a problem of garuf haikatum. So many Paiskim say if you put it there before Shabbos, you'd be allowed to put it directly on the hot plate. The Ber Moshe says it's mutter. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Shevet Alevi, the Arlitzian, and I know Rabbi Ribiat and the Shabbos Kitchen, they also go with that before Shabbos. I'm talking about before Shabbos. You could put it directly on the hot plate. If you want to rely on that, definitely I would tell you you'd be allowed to rely on that. But again, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein keeps on saying that it has to be that it's impossible to cook on it. I think most hot plates are possible to cook on. It's not normal to cook on, which Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it has to be normal to cook on it. But Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says it has to be impossible to cook. I don't think it's impossible to cook on it. If you want to go with that halacha, then you would need a cover on top of the hot plate, some type of 9x13 pan, or a cookie sheet, and then you could put the food on top of that. So again, the problem is that the English publications, they quote Rav Moshe that it has to be normal to cook on it. If you look on Moshe's side, it seems to say it has to be impossible to cook on it. Definitely, I would say it's better, what it seems from Moshe Feinstein, that you should have a cover on top of the hot plate, because it's not impossible to cook on the hot plate, and therefore preferably that's what you should do. Yeah.
According to our Moshe, you can't just put a piece of foil.
So a piece of silver foil would not be good enough, because we say that it's not mamayet the chaim, it doesn't diminish the heat whatsoever. You need some type.
What about like a layer of heavy duty? The
heavy duty would be okay. Right, heavy duty would be okay, or a few layers.
The same level
by the crock pot, which would seem according to our Moshe would be by the hot plate. But if you see somebody doing directly on the hot plate from before Shabbos, definitely they have what to rely on. And again, Chananya. Anyways, we have Chananya. According to Chananya, anyways, you don't have to worry about anything. If the food is already half cooked before Shabbos, anyways, you have nothing to worry about. That's why you always have Chananya. And like you asked before, can you eat it if you see them in somebody else's house? For sure. According to Chananya, anyways, you'd be allowed to eat it for sure. B'di'eved, you'd be allowed to eat it. Let's talk about raw food. Halacha that some of you may know, this is the last halacha for Shehiyah, is one exception is raw food. If you have, before Shabbos, it's less than Michael Ben Jussoy, it's less than half cooked, but it's even raw, meaning it's not, there's a long stage, it's not raw anymore, but it's still not half cooked. So, according to Chananya, you need all of those halachas. But let's say it's totally raw. You put up your chont right before Shabbos, or you added one piece to your chont right before Shabbos. Even if the rest of the chont you put on this morning and it's not Michael Ben Jussoy yet, or it is Michael Ben Jussoy not fully cooked and you want to rely on, you want to go with the Rabbanon. If there's one piece that's totally raw, that is also a permitted way. And the reason is because we said that the whole problem is you may stoke the flames because you may want to eat it tonight instead of tomorrow. If it's raw, then anyways it won't get cooked by tonight. Since anyways it won't get cooked by tonight, so then anyways, we're not afraid you're going to raise the flame or stoke the coals or anything like that. So therefore, if it's raw, you're allowed to do that. If you're somewhere and you don't have any silver foil and you want to make it garuf or katum, so what you're able to do is, you don't have any silver foil, what are you going to do? You could just take a piece of raw meat and just dump it in, and therefore, once we say it's called kidra chayasa, it's raw food, you have nothing to worry about. This is only by foods that are not going to get cooked very quickly, like meat and beans. But raw vegetables doesn't make it this heter, because vegetables get cooked very quickly. If I would have it, want to eat it quickly, if I want to eat it tonight, the raw vegetables would be able to. So you can't put in another potato. A potato, I'd imagine, you know, it would get cooked up, at least cooked enough that I'd be able to eat it tonight. There's a big discussion, you know, let's say I stay up late Friday night and by 12 o'clock tonight, it's way past my meal, but I want to have a midnight snack, so let's say it's not going to be ready by, it will be ready by then. The Bi'ur Halacha talks about it, Rabbi Yasha talks about it. It's hard, you know, to say a clear halacha on that, but definitely when we have a regular heter, a standard case, if it's raw, if you come somewhere before Shabbos and you see there's a raw piece of meat in it, don't think, hey, it's raw, and it's not even Michael Ben Jussoy, and then I have to start worrying about Garuf HaKatum. If it's raw, we have a heter that you don't have to worry about it because we're not afraid you're going to stoke the coals. Rav Sacks does not allow. Okay. The reason why Rav Sacks doesn't allow is because the question is, the Paiskim discuss, does this heter apply nowadays? A lot of our pots cook very, very fast. So some Paiskim say that by our pots, you don't have this heter, because since it could cook it very fast, so you don't have this heter. Most Paiskim say that by crock pots, we do have such a heter. Maybe by regular pots, that's a big machlokes, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, Rav Henkin, they say that there's no heter by regular pots nowadays because it cooks much faster. But by a crock pot, most Paiskim say, I do believe that there is such a heter. Maybe Rav Sacks doesn't let because he's afraid maybe by the meal time tonight you won't eat it, but if you want to have a midnight snack, then maybe you would want to. Again, like I said, the Bi'ur Halacha discusses, Rabbi Yashiv says, if you want to have a midnight snack, you know, you may come to stoke it for then, so then perhaps that's not allowed. Maybe I'll ask Rabbi Sacks when I get a chance. Just one thing, Rav Nissen Krelitz says that it's not only if it's raw. If it's a type of food, we have a huge pot of food, and you put something that's, it's not really raw, it's past raw, but other type of food that won't get ready by tonight because of the fact that it's just past the stage of raw, or it's a huge pot of food and it takes very, very long to cook, and basically it's similar to raw, that it's not going to be cooked by tonight, then also we would have such a heter. Okay, so just to wrap it up again, according to Chananya, once it's Michael Ben Jussoy, you don't have to worry about Garuf HaKatum at all. If it's less than Michael Ben Jussoy, according to Chananya, or you want to be strict and go according to the Rabbanon, which the Chafetz Chaim says preferably you should, then you need to have Garuf HaKatum. We discussed if a blech makes it katum or not. Most places can say a blech is enough to make it considered katum. We discussed that's why we have the silver foil in the crock pot to make it katum. We discussed the knobs are preferable to cover. Some places can say for sure you have to cover the knobs. Some places can say that's the only thing that's important is the knobs. To the totally about face, we have some places that say you don't have to worry about the knobs whatsoever. It's enough with just the inside. As far as ovens, we discussed if ovens are considered garfa katum. Many places can say it's not considered garfa katum, especially if you have the ovens, like you're telling me, that there's coils along the side and the heating elements along the side, then for sure it's not garfa katum, and you would be not allowed, according to the Rabbanon, to put food in the oven before Shabbos, even if it's fully cooked, because it's not mitzvah v'raloi. Again, according to Chananya, anyways it's permitted. And as far as hot plates, we said many places can say you could put before Shabbos, you could put a direct food in a pan directly on the hot plate. It would seem, according to Moshe Feinstein, that you should not do that, and you should have some type of separation, either a few levels of silver foil or a 9x13 pan, something like that. And as far as kidro chayos, as far as raw meat, that is another way out to let the shehiyah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll discuss the halachos of chazara, taking food off on Shabbos and putting it back, and all the conditions that you need for that.